Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shino. Again, my name's Randy, and it's Campus Sunday today. And so a special welcome to our college students. My hope is if you're a college student, you would come away with a feeling that you would want to be connected to a local church. And for everyone else, my hope is that you would want to feel more knitted and connected to our church community. The title of this message is The Church, More Than Just a Sunday. So church to me growing up in the Philippines was dipping in and out of Sunday service as fast as we can. I mean, how can we beat masses of people heading out of church from the parking lot, right? It was also a place where I could practice bobbing for apples. But what is it really? Let's see what God has to say about it. In Psalm 68, verse 6, the ESV, says, God settles the solitary in families. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. Another version, the NIV, says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. I'd submit to you that the home and family that God places lonely people into, like you and me, is the church. Since coming to know who Jesus really is, I simultaneously learned not just what church is, but who is the church. The church is a body. It's a body of people who God calls out to fight alongside, fight with, and fight for each other. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come in and show us your intention of what church family should really look like. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been crazy lately. Recent events have solidified the fact that I can't handle any of it by myself, not just alone with God. Don't get me wrong, God is powerful and he can do anything. But I don't believe he calls us to be hermits. Jesus said, love God and love people. Love people. Well, for that to happen, we have to be exposed to people. You know, the question is, who do you turn to when you run out of toilet paper in a pandemic? Or when you're studying for your final exams and you're literally losing your hair? Or a little bit more serious, when your family is going through health issues because of COVID? Or when you are exposed and watching traumatic events of seeing our black and brown brothers and sisters dying on TV? Do you solely turn to media, news? Do you just simply process with people who think like you and look like you? Or draw your cues from motivational speakers or activists miles away? Well, maybe, just maybe, this is what God intends what church is for, what church family is. In these tough times, we get to fight together, fight with each other, and fight for each other. So fight together. Fight together alongside family, like Jesus. In Ephesians 6, 12, Paul was saying, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Make no mistake, our enemy, it's not really people. There is a spiritual battle going on. But what I wanted to highlight is Paul's use of imagery of the word wrestle. In the Greco-Roman times that he was speaking from, wrestling was a place where two guys would be either naked or have some sort of loincloth, wrestling for each other. They were oiled up even, trying to pinning each other down. What Paul was saying is that we shouldn't wrestle our enemy like that, but instead, he's conjuring up the image of fighting like a Roman soldier. In the following verses later, he talks about putting on the armor of God. And not only is he talking about how we should be prepared, you know, with the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, and so forth, but he's also bringing about the way a Roman soldier fights. Roman army is one of the most successful fighting units out there. They've won a lot of wars. And the secret to their success doesn't merely rely on their technological advances, but into how they fight. They fight together with each other as a family unit. You know, a history buff once even told me that when one of the Roman soldiers dies in their unit, they wouldn't replace them. They would actually keep that unit cohesiveness by not adding a new member so that they would be so familiar with each other. They would go into battle with a bond and knowing that they have each other's back. Okay? Well, that sounds like Jesus to me. Where in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our God, Jesus Christ, is not a distant God, wherein he's just letting the affairs of humanity play out without his intervention, but he came down in form of man and chose to fight alongside with us and won." I just want to let you know that we need to fight together. That college students, we want you to be plugged in a local church because you add value to us. Not only are we able to meet your need to help you in your career and professional life, but we need your fresh ideas. We need you to inspire and mentor our young children. You are the next generation, and we can't do this without you. In the height of the pandemic in March, we were, you know, counseling and praying with a student. What he said rang really true to my heart. He was dealing with stress and anxiety, and he told us, "I'm glad I'm not alone in all this." So, don't wrestle like a Greco-Roman warrior, but do as the Romans do. Fight together alongside family, like Jesus did. So we fight together with family, but also we fight with family. There is no perfect group of people where we're always going to talk about and agree on everything. In fact, in my marriage with Suni, we'd have multiple fights, like a ton. And we're going to have more, maybe even after this recording. I don't know. But in our fights, what determined how well it would end up is if we fought either to win or we fought to win each other. There's a difference. One resulted in breakdown and the other in breakthrough. Well, I still haven't won her over to get me to get to eating fried chicken every week. But that's okay. She wants me to be around. But a serious matter, even in this really tough climate that we're talking about in church, I found myself stumbling through conversations in race and injustice, wherein my words were not sensitive, didn't come from a well-thought place. And even the way I grew up, you know, I was not educated and I lacked that empathy. But wrestling through with this church family and processing and pursuing relationships with those that I've hurt has helped me and my brothers and sisters realize that we're on the same side and we can move forward together. Hey, even Jesus' own family and disciples didn't get it together and they had a lot of these disagreements. Take James and John, for example. When they had a power trip, asked Jesus to be at his right hand and left hand, the rest of the disciples got offended. Makes sense. Or even when, what was Jesus thinking? By putting Simon the Zealot, right, who was part of a radical underground movement for an independent Jewish nation, who they were violently opposed to tax collecting, and in that same group, he put Matthew the tax collector. That's today's extreme right and extreme left, right? And maybe Jesus messed around with them and made them bunk buddies. I don't know. But there is a way where we can have a healthy struggle in church that results in growth when we do it well, when we do it biblically. Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20, a very familiar passage to many of us. It says, Jesus said, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." I've used these verses many times in prayer meetings or when we're agreeing to pray for something to happen. But did you know that this passage is actually a part of a larger narrative that's found in Matthew 18, verse 15? So a few verses higher, it says this: "If your brother sins against you, and you know, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother or sister." I submit to you that what Jesus is trying to say is that there is a sort of struggle that we must have as brothers and sisters. And when we do it biblically, when we do it with active listening, with empathy and compassion, Jesus is right there with us. The late Chadwick Boseman, in his 2018 Howard University commencement, he was talking to students who were protesting some policies and even took over one of their buildings. He said, "You love the university enough to struggle with it. You have to continue to do that. Everything you fought for was not for yourself. It was for those who come after you." To drill home the point, even the late Congressman John Lewis once said, "We have to believe we're one people, one family, and we cannot turn against each other. We have to turn to each other." There's a family feud going on, but we need to struggle and stick with each other. And as we do, Jesus is right there with us. So next, now, other than fighting with each other, alongside, and fighting with, struggling through, in God's church, where He sets the lonely in families, He's calling us to fight for each other as well. And when we fight for something, it's not just taking a stand for an idea or a cause or a people. See, if Jesus and the church is worth it, sometimes fighting for involves sacrificing your right to be right, your offense and prejudgment of others' motives, and taking the hit. It's basically laying down your life. As many of you know, Chadwick Boseman died 2 weeks ago because of colon cancer. And in between filming his films, he would have treatments and surgeries. His diagnosis remained largely a secret. And I don't exactly know why, but perhaps he didn't want the spotlight on himself and to distract from the characters of Jesse Owens, Thurgood Marshall, and King T'Challa. Maybe he persevered through the pain and the side effects of the medications because he was fighting for his family to pave the way for Black Americans and people of color who have been marginalized and for freedom to break through that glass ceiling of racism. Sounds like Jesus to me. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus fought for you, for me, so you could fight for each other in this church family. Though it's hard and painful to fight for someone in this sacrificial way, Jesus did it. And we can now carry our cross and get a chance to do it too. So, God sets the lonely in families. God settles the solitary in a home through the work of the cross of Jesus. And in our church family, we get to fight alongside, fight with, and fight for each other. So how do we practically apply all that, you might ask? Well, the first thing is, we got to get connected to Jesus. Get connected to Jesus. Believe that Jesus is God, lived as a human, died a convicted criminal's death, and lived to prove his deity so that our sins are paid for and God doesn't hold anything against us anymore. Would love for you to text us and email us and chat with us so we could pray with you more about this. Second thing, connect to a connect group. Get involved with a connect group. And I want to also encourage you to consider joining a group with people who don't look like you, think like you, to help you get a more diverse perspective on God and following Jesus. And for college students, I invite you to join our student group called Every Nation Campus New York City, where we could apply what we talked about in a college setting. I also invite you to join our church. It doesn't have to be ours as long as you let God set you in one. You'll be surprised how grounded your life will be post-grad when you invest in a church relationship family right now. Thank you very much for listening. I hope the Holy Spirit did something in your hearts. I believe this message is for myself and for all of us, especially in this time. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that first of all, you would set our hearts toward you. You would connect us with you, Jesus. And with the good news, the gospel, it is not just an entryway to being a Christian, but it is supposed to be the power that transforms us every day. And the power that lets us live this life in connection, in church family, where we get to fight with each other, fight for each other, and fight alongside each other. Thank you for doing that yourself, Jesus. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now we have some discussion questions to help stimulate our brain and really help us dig deep in the Word. There's nothing like coming in from a Christ-centered perspective. I grew up in the Philippines and I love my culture, but there are many times when I need to always go back to Jesus and say, what are you really saying about this? So first question is, when conflict has come up in your family or workplace and people start taking sides, how has that been positive or negative in resolving things? How might Ephesians 6:12 apply here? Next question. Based on Matthew 18, verse 15 and 18 to 20, how does God want us to respond to conflict? And lastly, is there anyone that the Lord might be asking you to fight for right now, either in prayer, words of encouragement, or serving in practical ways? And now let me hand it back over to Pastor Chino.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.